We realize, as we explained to the children this week, being born again means becoming a new person. You know what I'm saying? Like whenever I was born the first time, and I entered into this world as a living, breathing individual, there were things that were implanted in me that made me who I am. And whenever we're born again into Christ, He doesn't just do that just to make us better people. It's like we become new people in Christ, you know. And so He lifts us up, and I want you to understand that your sanctification process is not just based on like little things that God is putting in you. It's based on the fact that God is in you. That's what sets us apart. That's what makes us new. That's what the sanctification process is all about, is more of us getting out of the way so more of Him can show through us. That's what it's about. And so we kind of see this in the Scripture. We've been in Acts chapter 6, and today we're going to be talking about how the power of God is the Holy Spirit in us, okay? That's the power of God. That's the power of God displayed through people. I want you to understand that what we need to do to have greater power, greater faith, is cultivate a greater closeness with God and allowing Him to be the richness of us flowing out. You see, whenever you see just my old nature coming out of me, you're not going to see anything spectacular. But what I pray that you'll see is more of God coming out of me as He does through me His desire. And what happens, the way that this happens, I think, is that we're willing to surrender and submit more of ourselves to Him. Just give more and more of our life to Him. That's this process that we go through. And so it's so awesome how gentle He is about it. Have you ever thought about that? How gentle He is about it? How patient He is with us? You know, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I'm all about getting it done. I like to get things done. If it takes too long, I get really impatient. And my children will say an amen to this. Sometimes I can get short-tempered. You know, if it ain't getting done, I can really get, the ugliness can come out of me. Praise God, God's not like that. You know what I'm saying? God doesn't have sin in Him at all. So everything He does is absolutely perfect. And I can tell you, whenever it comes down to the time that our good Father has to discipline us, it's because that's what we really need. So be thankful when we have that happen. Because God is doing stuff in us and through us that's beyond us. And it's part of His good plan. You remember last week, we were in Acts chapter 6, the earlier part of it, and we realized that the power of God brought the wisdom and the knowledge to know what they needed to do at a given time. Because there were problems. There were problems that cropped up because of growth. We're always going to have problems around us. Do I get an amen to that? Always going to have problems around us. Now, what we need is the wisdom to know how to handle those problems in a godly way. Do I get an amen to that? And so that's what they did in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, is they realized there were some people getting overlooked in the daily ministry. And so rather than this little group of pastors, as you might call them, the apostles, this little group of pastors didn't say, boy, we need to do it all, so we just need to work harder. Maybe we need to put that Bible reading aside. Maybe we need to put that prayer time aside. No, what they said is we need to call out people that God's already put His Spirit into, that we're recognizing they have what it takes, and we're going to call them in to do this ministry and oversee it and get others to help. And so that way, the ministry of the word and prayer don't suffer. Do I get an amen to that? We need to make sure that we stick to the main thing, and that's to take the word of God to people, no matter what we do. If we feed them, it's because we love Jesus, and we also want them to get spiritual food. If we minister to them in other ways, we really want them to get the greater gift. And so they recognized this. God's Spirit brought wisdom on them to recognize these men that were set apart. And if you look at verse 5, go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. If you look at verse 5, we say, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit." Now, we notice that they kind of single Stephen out because the rest of this chapter is going to have something to do with Stephen. And then they also say, now he's not the only one who's full of faith in the Holy Spirit, but he is one. Now, these others were Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. And so they recognized that God was living powerfully through these men, and that's what gave them what they were going to need to be able to lead in these areas and serve. And so they set them before the apostles in verse 6, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. So they were recognizing the blessing of God on them, and they were passing on the spiritual blessing of these other men who were the apostles, were above them, and just they were passing on a blessing to serve. They were saying it's a blessing for them to be able to serve. And then it says in verse 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now here's the deal, guys. Whenever God's moving in a powerful way, I'm just going to tell you, Satan don't like it. And whenever Satan don't like it, did you know there's some out there that are sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly being inspired by Satan and by the demonic powers? And so then we can conclude from that, whenever God's moving in a powerful way, anybody who's not following God may not necessarily like it. In fact, they're going to really dislike it. So like whenever God's doing big things, get it through our heads, it's not going to be popular with everybody. Do I get an amen? We got to know this, because otherwise it freaks us out whenever we start to see it. We think, man, how can anybody be dissatisfied with that? Well, as it turns out, there were some dissatisfied with the work that Stephen was doing. So let's look at verse 8, because it repeats something about Stephen here. You remember what it said about him at verse 5? A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Remember, it said he was full of the Holy Spirit. And then here it says it's full of power. That's how I have deduced from the Word of God that the power we're talking about here is the Holy Spirit power. And so as and God's already told us, guys, He's pleased to fill us with it. He even tells us to ask. So I think it's a good idea. Okay? But as we look and we continue to read on here, we're going to understand that this power will give us unmatched faith, power, and wisdom. Power of God. That's what we want, is the unmatchable power and wisdom that comes from it. So now, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And who was doing those wonders and signs? Literally God through Stephen, right? Okay? We always want to keep that in mind. God does it for Him to get the glory, and He'll do it through individuals like me and you and Stephen, right? And so then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen. Boy, you read the rest of the story, you're going to find out they're not very free. They're bound by the enemy, you know. But it's almost kind of ironic that they're called the synagogue of the freedmen. Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen. What in the world were they disputing with? It was the work of God coming through Stephen. But nonetheless, they wanted to argue with him because it wasn't what they wanted to see. It wasn't the way they wanted to see it, and it wasn't through the name of the one that they wanted to follow, and it offended them. And so then they were not able to resist, verse 10, the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. They can resist us. People can resist me every day. I've tried winning arguments with my wife before, and I know I'm just giving up on that. I can't do it. She's much better at it than me. That was another thing we learned yesterday at the men's meetings, too. But you see, guys, here's the deal. They might be able to resist us, but they can't resist God. So when we stand in the power of God, and I'm not just talking about your wives, so I'm talking about any time that you know something to be true by the Word of God, you stand by the power of God. And although another person might resist that, it's not really just your battle to fight. When you stand in the power of God, whose battle is it? It's God's battle. Y'all remember when David went up against a really big guy? What was that big guy's name? The giant, King David, whenever he was just a little boy. David and Goliath. And he stepped out against Goliath in battle. And so he had a nuclear bomb in his hand, right? To take this guy out. No, he had a sling and five stones. But you see, that wasn't even the point. Because you remember what David said? He told him, he said, you come at me with the sword and spear and all that stuff, but I come at you in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And my God's going to win this battle today. Because the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. And you see, this is how we stand too, guys. In the eyes of the world, we're going to look small and insignificant. We're not going to have the right stuff. But I can tell you, if you got God, you got the right stuff. Okay? You're gonna have power and wisdom and everything else that can't be matched. And that's the way with Stephen, who is full of faith and power. Guys, he did wonders and signs among the people that they couldn't explain. It didn't make everybody happy. And he actually ultimately died for it. But now I got a question for you. Where did he go the moment he died? He went straight into the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Was it worth it? Absolutely. In fact, we're going to look at that just a little bit. But there's some things about this faith that I want us to really grasp onto. First of all, it's a gift of God. Okay? Faith is a gift of God. Now, do we cultivate it? Do we try to do things that are going to build it up, strengthen it? Do we have to actually work it out through our works? Absolutely, and all of that strengthens your faith. But I can tell you the spark of faith is literally a gift from God. We cannot conjure this thing up ourselves. We've got to ask for it. Okay? The second thing I want us to notice from this, wonders, these wonders that it's talking about, like miracles, these signs and wonders, these are supernatural. Supernatural. So you'd say, well, what's the point? Well, the point is, we can't do these ourselves either. These are things we ask for God to do through us to be a sign that He is real. And other people are going to see these things and they're going to know, wow, this is not what we see naturally happen, so we know God is in this. And so maybe we need to follow this God too. You get the point? He's displaying His glory through those wonders, through those signs that are supernatural. Okay? What do these look like? I can tell you there is nothing more supernatural than when somebody gets saved. It's one thing for a person to get healed physically, but it is so much bigger for a person to get healed spiritually and to be born again. I'm just going to say that. And anybody that knew me before I was 30, they would know the difference between me then and me now. And so I just want to praise God that God did something supernatural in me. God will do things supernatural through you if you'll just trust Him and get close to Him and not be ashamed of the gospel whenever you're confronted with situations. And yes, since it's supernatural, God confronts us with supernatural problems, so to speak, things we cannot cure ourselves, because if we could do it ourselves, He wouldn't need to do it. But He gives us problems that we can't do so that whenever we call on Him to do it and He does it, then wow, everybody says, that was God. Okay? And that comes to the third point. Signs point the way to something. And I wanted to put someone because it's really God that we wanted to point to. Amen? The signs are pointing the way to something other than us. And that's why they're supernatural. Okay? And then, to be full of one thing, this is just kind of almost like a side thought, but not really. It's really an important thought. To be filled with something, you got to first be emptied of something else. Okay? So here's the deal. If I'm full of myself and it's all about me, there ain't much room for God. So that's why Jesus said you got to die to yourself to come and really receive Him. So here's the deal. The less we're filled with ourselves, the more we can be filled with God. And the decrease of ourselves sometimes is painful, but it's okay. Y'all remember John the Baptist, John chapter 3? His disciples came to him and they said, Rabbi, we got a problem. There's this dude named Jesus and he's down there and they're baptizing more people than us. And like, that freaked him out because like, his disciples were wanting to be famous. They were wanting to be somebody. They were wanting influence. And you remember what John the Baptist said? Guys, I'm just the best man at the wedding. Okay? I'm celebrating that the bridegroom is here. That he's receiving his place. And so I must decrease and he must increase. So what's he saying? I got to be empty to myself so that I can get filled up with him, basically, is what he's saying. And so that's kind of some of the main points I just want you to keep in mind as we go through some of these following scriptures. Now let's get into this faith, because the faith is the big key issue here. Faith is, Hebrews 11:1, Let's read it together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? It has substance. You know, we were talking in youth class today. This isn't like flying an airplane through a cloud, you know, and it just kind of, there's not really hardly any substance to it. Guys, your faith needs to have substance. How does your faith have substance? Whenever it's based in the promises of the Word of God. And I can tell you, as you live your life based on the substance of the faith and the promises of the Word of God, you're going to find God delivering you and showing you that, man, that's the kind of stuff I want my life built on. Because even when all hope is down, I can tell you, God's still there. And if He's led you to it, He's going to see you through it. And so we need to base our faith on the promises of the Word of God. That's the substance that it's made of. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Remember, this faith is a gift. Amen? "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, you will have works, but let the works flow from the faith that's been given you. Ask for greater faith, cultivate greater faith, live for greater faith, and then live it out in your daily life. And those are the kind of works that show your faith is not dead. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This is the point. If you want greater faith, you want greater power, you want greater life, I think you go to God, you ask Him for a greater measure of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. Now, I want to warn you, whenever we do this, He's going to test it. And part of that us decreasing process sometimes can be a little painful. And it will be, but it's worth it. And it's the only way. Because if I'm still all filled up with myself, there's not much room for God to work through me. Our life should be about God and others. Amen? That's exactly what He said. He said that all the commands are summed up in the two great commands: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. And believe me, whenever you do that, He'll take care of you. Don't you worry. It will be extravagant the way He takes care of you. He will give you things you didn't even know to ask for. You didn't even know were possible. But you see, when you're not fighting for everything you can have, grabbing, and you just do this, then God can fill it. Your hands are open where He can fill them. And then you're living for Him. You're living for something bigger for yourself. Guys, that's the key, is to be emptied so we can be refilled. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. "For this reason," this is Paul's prayer for the church. Man, I'll tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I was looking through some of these prayers, and they are amazing. It was hard for me just to pick just one, but this one here just really grabbed me. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory." How rich is God? "According to the riches of His glory." So how rich is God? Give me some answers here. He's got it all. Amen? He's got it all, and He's got some more, because we don't even know about all that He has. We haven't seen it all yet. He's got it, and He wants to give it to us if we'll just let Him. But see, the key is, be surrendered, submitted. And He's praying this for the whole family in which heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might. You hear that? Power. Through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the inner man. You see, places where other people can't see. We're all about, you know, fitness and strength on the outside. How about the fitness and strength on the inside? You know, Paul said, bodily exercise profits a little, but man, now the spiritual exercise, that profits a lot. That's what we're needing. We need to be strengthened in the inner man with the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You hear that? God strengthened my faith so I got more Christ dwelling in my heart. More power, more strength. that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Some Bibles say surpasses all understanding. That you may be filled. You hear that word? Filled. Filled with the fullness of God. Now, I know the word filled. Sometimes we only think of, like, if I was to fill this bucket with green goo till it looked like this. All right? That's part of it. But once you're filled to that point, here's another thing that happens. Then you're controlled by it. That word filled literally means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need. We need to stop doing it our way, and we need to ask God to help us to do it His way. To give up and get our hands off the reins and let Him drive. And if we'll do that, I can tell you, God will do through us things like He did through Stephen. He said, but wait a minute, preacher, he died. Well, this preacher's got news for you. So will you. At some point, you're going to. The question is, what do we want to be doing, and where do we want to be when that happens? I don't know about the rest of you all, but I've pretty well made up my mind. I want to be serving the Lord with everything I got. Whenever I draw my last breath, that's what I want to be doing. I want to be giving it all to Him. If we can get back into Acts chapter 6, we're just going to kind of finish a reading of 6 there. So he was full of his faith and power and great wonders and signs among him. And it says, then there arose these ones who came against him, and they were not able to resist him. Verse 10, the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. Then also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him. It looks like he's down and done, guys, but listen to what the next words say. When they looked steadfastly at him, they saw his face as the face of an angel. Do you know what an angel is? We all get into angels and we think that it's something different than what it is. It's a messenger of God. And I'm going to tell you, whenever everything got bad and everything got looking its worst, that's whenever God showed through Stephen. And whenever you read the very next chapter, and I won't read the whole 7th chapter, guys. I want you to read it on your own in your homes today. I'm going to tell you, he gave them a history lesson. He schooled them. He schooled them in their own religion. And he told them, this is why God did it. And you know what? We thought they'd have been happy about it. But when, I will let you skip forward. Everybody likes to skip to the end of it. Go forward to the very last part of Acts chapter 7, verse 57. So he gets done telling them all this and saying this was all leading up to Jesus. And you know, you need to look to him. You need to quit looking to Moses to be your leader. You need to quit looking to David to be your leader. They were all pointing forward to Jesus, and he's come. And so they looked at him and they cried out with a loud voice, stopped up their ears, and ran at him with one accord. Guys, right before this, though, it says that when Peter looked up to heaven, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So they may be running at him to kill him, but you know what? At this point, Stephen didn't even care. Because he had been faithful, and he saw Jesus standing. What does it say that Jesus is at, and where is he right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was saying, yes, son, you go. And I'll tell you what, he was standing up to receive him. I have no doubt in my mind. Now, I'll tell you, I've been through some times and I've done some things, but I've never gotten to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. But I'll tell you, no matter what I had to go through to see it, it'd be worth it. And so he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and all these guys cried out with a loud voice because they were cut. Man, they were cut to the quick, and they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God. And listen to what he's saying. This is what the power of God will do for you. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of power I want. Not that I really want to die that way. Don't get me wrong. I really don't like beatings, and I sure wouldn't like a stoning. And I don't, you know, that's not really what I'm hoping for, but I hope for the kind of strength that will make me say that, if that's what's happening to me. The kind of strength that won't call out judgment on those guys, who would actually have the kind of love of Christ that would say, Father, forgive them, like Jesus did, for they know not what they do. Man, that's God showing through Stephen. That's a man emptied of himself and filled up with God. Oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you know he heard it? Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into your time of rest that I've prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. Oh God, that you would give us that kind of power. That's the kind of power I want. Do you want that kind of power? We get it as we become more emptied of ourselves so that God has more room to fill us up. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. We'll have a final song. And guys, I'll just tell you, when God calls you to come up and pray, it's a holy place. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I can just pray right here where I'm at. And you can. But it's disobedience if God calls you to come forward and do it. It's disobedience if God calls you to make a commitment before all the people and you won't do it. That's disobedience. Disobedience is not pleasing to God, and it's hanging on to our own right to do what we want. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to call you to do anything other than just obey God. Whatever he calls you to do, I want you to obey. Okay? I'm not going to judge you if nobody comes forward, but I would also encourage you that if God's calling you to make a commitment, do it. Okay? Because it's real and it matters. And maybe that commitment may be that you realize you need to give your heart to Jesus in the first place because you're not saved. And like, if that's the case, don't put it off for tomorrow because you don't know if you'll have tomorrow. So we need to live in today. So wherever you are, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Oh, I pray you do. If you don't, it could start right now. It's a matter of you repenting of your sin, turning your life over to Christ, and then letting him begin the process of just filling you up and controlling your life. That's what Lord means, master. And you say, well, that seems scary, but I can tell you, he will not call you to go anywhere that he does not give you the desire and the tools to do it. That's what I found about Jesus. He's a good master. He don't beat up his servants, make us do things. He actually changes our hearts so we'll want to. Isn't that cool? And even when we have those times when we don't really want to, he'll carry us through and he'll say, it's okay. Just wait. It'll come. Let's do it together. So let me pray for you. Dear God, I pray that you would just move in our hearts, move in this place, move and make us become less so that you can become more. Lord, I want less of the old John. I want less of that old man who just was selfish and born into sin. I want more of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. I want you to become more in me and flow through me and reach out to others. Father, I pray for everybody, every man, woman, and child in this room, that each one of us be securely and firmly in your grasp for salvation and for our sanctification. That sanctification means being set apart, and it's a lifetime of bringing everything in our life under your control until the day you take us home to heaven. So help us, Lord, to be willing participants in this, to get out of the way so that you can take over. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. He's got a good plan for us, guys. Here's the reason why he wants us to be filled up, so that he can use us to bring a lost world to himself. And you know what? I see him doing that right here in this church. Did you see how many people we had come to our vacation Bible school that were new? contacts and new opportunities to share the gospel. I saw the receptivity of the children. God's moving. And we need to stay with Him. And I know it seems like a daunting task, but God in us can do it. And so let's just be continually in prayer for that. Well, JD's not here to lead the birthday thing, but I think we should still do it, don't you think? Because it's a